Hey, we have a new sponsor for this week. This episode is sponsored by
the Magic Duck. You know what? When things ain't working right, is rough, hard, you got to get that Magic Duck.
Yeah.
When you get that Magic Duck, it'll change your life. So kids, get that Magic Duck and make it happen.
Magic Duck.
That's right.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
All right. And the great thing, so Jeff, I was telling you a little bit who Jay was. I was telling Jay a little bit who Jeff is. So we'll provide some more context for everybody. So welcome, everybody, to episode 129. We got rid of Martin for the week. And when we get rid of Martin, we have fun. So we got Jay joining us. Jay is one of my regular cohorts on Comics in Black and White. He's also here because he's the one who's recording it, because I've been too lazy to download the software on my new laptop since my old laptop died. Jeff is joining us from Valiant Comics Review, which is the Canadian Valiant Comic podcast, even though Jeff is just a pretend Canadian living in New England. Are you on that every week, Jeff? Are you like one of the there every week guys?
Yeah, it's pretty much been myself, Sean, who I consider to be kind of the godfather of Valiant podcasting, if you will, because he's the one that's been doing OTV since way back in the day. Angry Chris from Calgary, who just, man, he's just an angry guy. And then Josh Deck, also up in Canada there. The toughest thing, I'm on as often as I can be and or need to be. Some weeks it comes around and I'm like, Jesus, you know, it's Monday night. They're all, not all of them. Josh, I think, is an hour behind, and then Chris and Sean are 3 hours behind. So they're just, you know, they're just getting home from, you know, doing their big boy jobs, and it's like 7 o'clock, and meanwhile I'm struggling to stay awake because it's 10 p.m. over here, and I'm like, guys, I just want to do this. But yeah, I'm pretty much a regular over there, which is good. I begged my way in there. I sent Sean a random message one time, and I did a voice message. It was the first voice message I ever sent on Facebook, and I was like, hey, I want to be on your podcast. And I got Chris to put in a good word for me, and then boom, that was it. Quantum and Woody Must Die number 2, I think, was my my first foray. And I was way more excited about it back then than I am now.
So they brought you in on one that you just couldn't fuck up, basically. The book was already
That was a good one. No, see, I like those. What totally threw me off, Sean didn't tell me, I don't know if you guys, how much OTV you guys listen to, but Chiclo is another one of the guys over there, and he's just a friggin' riot, man. And I didn't realize I was going to be going on with him as well. So I talked to Sean a little bit, and he gave me the rundown and whatever, and then I hear Chiclo chime in, and I'm like, no way!
Yeah, I listened to a ton of OTV when I was first getting into Valiant Podcasts. I started listening to the Valiant podcast before they collapsed under the pressure of our greatness. That's how the story goes. But yeah, so I started listening to them, and then I, you know, of course, you hear about OTV if you are in the groups and all that, whatever. So I started listening to them, and I actually started listening backwards to OTV, like going back to the stuff before. A little bit, and then once Martin and I started doing this podcast, it didn't take that long, and I just stopped listening to Valiant podcasts altogether, because it's like I talk about it, why would I listen to it? But I don't have the same kind of time that other people do to listen to podcasts, so it's like I'm a one podcast kind of guy, and I tend to binge on one podcast until I get tired of it, and I'll switch to something else and switch back when I feel like it. So doing like 5 different Valiant podcasts and actually trying to have a life outside of Valiant just doesn't really work out for me.
What podcast, Valiant related or not, are you currently binging?
It's a wrestling one. My cousin out here in Maine, my wife's cousin, Mike, he's a big wrestling fan. And, do you listen to any of the other Nerdy Legion podcasts, Jeff?
Not yet. Not until you guys give me a homework assignment as for what other comic books I need to be reading.
We'll talk about that tonight. There's not a lot of Valiant news to talk about. you mentioned something, Jeff, which is actually the exact one thing that I want to touch on tonight in particular, but it won't take that long to talk about, so we'll stray wherever we feel like. But so anyways, a little Nerdy Legion context here. So you're meeting Jay now, who is now, he's part of a regular podcast, and he's actually working on another one with another guy who's part of Comics in Black and White with me, Dennis. But so, you know, we started with this podcast, and we slowly grew from there. We started doing the Nerdy Legion podcast, which started out as, like, we'll just kind of have a topic, and whoever shows up, shows up. Now it's more like Nick and Martin show up every week and talk about whatever the hell they want to talk about. But then as we grew, we had a couple of guys, one of which is Ronnie, who is doing, like, God, how many podcasts is he doing, Jay? Four?
At least
three.
I think it's four. He does Rebirthically, Ultimate Marvel, Aftershock.
I think those are his three regulars. And then the wrestling one.
Oh, and the wrestling one,
of course.
One,
yeah. So Ronnie and another guy wanted to do the wrestling podcast. We helped them kick it off. My cousin, who is not only a huge wrestling fan, but knows more about wrestling than anybody, like anybody, period. So I said, hey, you guys should have him on. I got him to go on there because I knew that if he went on there, he'd love it, and he'd end up becoming a regular. So he became part of that podcast. They ditched the other guy that started it with Ronnie and added Aaron on a while before they ditched the other guy. But so they kind of shifted around. But anyway, so they're huge wrestling fans, all of them. And they started listening to this podcast called Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Do either of you guys know anything about wrestling?
No, very little. I mean, it's not something that ever held much interest for me.
Jeff?
Not all that much. I think the extent of my exposure to wrestling, ironically enough, as a kid, was on the back of a whole bunch of DC comic books I had back in the early 90s that I didn't really even read all that much. I got a couple of, like, nice, rando issues of Superman, and then there was, like, a Star Trek thing that they did with these weird aliens that looked like anteaters and stuff. But I remember the wrestling advertisements. I think it was for the game. I think it was one of the NES games. And I was like, Jake the Snake Roberts, and he had, like, a 2x4, and Hulk Hogan was on there, and that's, yeah, I don't.
Nice. Yeah, so Bruce Pritchard has worked in the wrestling industry forever, but his what he'd be known for, like, on the screen was he played a character called Brother Love back in the, like, I want to say, like, mid-80s to early 90s-ish, I don't know, something like that. So somebody will listen and correct me. But yeah, so like that was his on-screen persona, but he was always a behind-the-scenes guy too, like a booker, creative guy, stuff like that. So it's his podcast that he does with, like, he just met and became friends with this guy who's a wrestling fan. They started doing the podcast together. And it's a really damn good podcast. The one cool thing about wrestling podcasts is they're just good, even if you don't give a shit about wrestling, because it's just stories about ridiculous shit. So it's just, you just can't go wrong with them. But yeah, that's one I've been listening to for quite some time. And the only other one that always works its way back in round one, football season's coming around, is I've been listening to ESPN Fantasy Focus Football since I started playing fantasy football, which was the same year the podcast started, coincidentally. So I've been listening to that for like 9 years now. So
that's funny. You've managed to find two things I have almost no interest in. And here we are in a oddly specific Valiant Comics podcast. What about you, Jay? You got a podcast you're binging?
There's one other that I listen to. It's not a Nerdy Legion. It's called The Comics Alternative. This guy is actually one of the co-hosts, lives here in the Dallas area where I am, and the others, I believe, in North Carolina. They talk about alternative indie comics a lot, and they do some really good interviews. I recently did an interviews with both Matt Kent and Jeff Lemire.
Oh, nice.
They have, you know, they have some interesting different perspectives, and they have, it's not only these two guys that host, they bring in other hosts to cover other things. Like they do a manga, once a month a manga episode, and then a couple of other people do children's comics, and then they talk about European comics. I don't tend to listen to that as much. Outside of Nerdy Legion, that's probably the only thing I really listen to.
So I'm
gotta
binging.
Subscribe to that one. What are you binging on?
I'm binging on a podcast that has the coolest name for a podcast ever, and it fails to live up to the name constantly. It's a good podcast, but it's not. It's called Acts of the Blood God. Does that not sound like the coolest thing in the world? It's a video game podcast specific to RPG games and not even just video games. They've mentioned some of the tabletop stuff, and it's primarily video games. But I don't know. I get into the video game stuff. That's how I got into Valiant. That's my big bread and butter as far as what I consume. So it's just I
love.
You got
into Valiant for video games? How does that work?
Yeah. So I didn't tell this story. I love telling the story because people are just baffled by it. So comics and me just had this weird, like, we just avoided each other somehow all throughout the 90s, and then I think in the early 2000s is really when I started getting my own money, and I did buy actually, this is the first comic I ever bought with my own money was a graphic novel called Chasing Dogma, and it was a Jay and Silent Bob comic that took place between Chasing Amy and Dogma. You guys familiar with Jay and Silent Bob movies?
Yeah, that was actually my first little foray into comics, was because of Kevin Smith. But,
oh,
we'll
dude, that's a
riot. That out for your story.
So that was great. And then half of the plot they recycled to turn into Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, which just completely ruined that movie for me. But I bought
oh, come on, that movie doesn't even have half a plot.
So you can imagine my disappointment when most of it had already taken place in this graphic novel. But I bought a copy of the Shadow Man game, which really wasn't that great of a game, but it had a really, really cool story. It was the first time I remember there being, a big impact, or a game with a story having a real, really big impact on me. And it's funny because it's better than a lot of the acclaimed Shadow Man stuff that came out. And when I finally got around to reading some of those, I was like, oh man, this just doesn't even compare. But that was about the time I started Googling everything too. Anytime I came across something, I was like, I gotta Google this. I gotta see what's up in Wikipedia and whatever. And that's when I realized, like, oh, okay, this was based on a comic book. That's cool. Oh, okay, Turok. Yeah, that makes sense. There was a comic book in the back of the instruction manual for the first Turok game, Nintendo 64. And that's when I realized, oh my god, this was this whole comic universe. But not only that, it was based on this other comic universe that happened in the 90s that I completely missed. So I went on eBay, dude. I started buying up lots, and I was just going through. I think I spoiled a lot of really good stuff for myself early on, just in the order that I read stuff, because I was just like, okay, what is this? You know, Unity. Okay, whatever. Read this. Oh. Just all over the place. But yeah, that's pretty much what got me into it. As soon as I realized that existed, I was like, man, I gotta go back and read this. And then of course, you know, 2012 came along and they were like, Exo Manowar number one. The rest is pretty much history.
So you jumped in like right when they relaunched, when you heard about Exo coming out?
Well, that was. I'm still working on my VH1 and my classic Valiant collection anyways, but I started buying those literally in probably 2003, 2004. That's how long I've been.
Yeah.
You know, and then at some point discovered, you know, OTV, and I was listening to those guys and whatever, but it was a long period of just nothing. That really, honestly, it was between Acclaim just completely tanking and, you know, 2012. It's a lot of. And of course, the VFans website discovered that too. That was another thing that really sucked me into the whole thing. This is a great community, man. It really is. Even for, you know, guys like Chris from Calgary, just ruining everything for.
it's such an interesting cast of characters that Valiant fans make up, and it's funny because like I'm sick of the big group. It doesn't do anything for me anymore. Which is fine. Like I saw, I'm still in it, and every once in a while I'll see a post that I'll actually get in a little bit of a conversation. But a lot of times, like I'll tell guys if they're asking a question or something, like here's like the gist of what I have to say. But if you want more, just send me a message, because I don't want to get in a big, you know, like argument with other people's opinions, because I don't give a fuck what other people think. You know, so if somebody wants my opinion, like I'll give them the gist of it, and if they want more, they can come and get it. But yeah, it's just crazy. I mean, like, I may be kind of over that group for my own purposes, but like, I gotta respect the groups because like, I wouldn't be doing any of the stuff that I'm doing right now if it wasn't for stumbling into the group. and surviving through the first time that he who shall not be named almost ran me out of it because I was like, what the hell is going on in this group? how old are you, Jeff?
Christ almighty, make me think about that. I just turned 32 and I'm not happy about it.
Oh, you're younger than I am. Don't even start.
I know. I'm sorry. But listen, at some point, you guys just turned 32 and you were probably fucking miserable about it too.
I was ready to be old. When I finally hit 30, I was like, thank God I'm not in my fucking 20s anymore.
I never cared about getting older until I hit about 52. And that's only because things start hurting then, you know, it's like,
well, I'm not supposed to start hurting till 52. I already started that shit. I'm proactive.
Yeah. Well, that's because you fall downstairs a lot and shit.
Not a lot, just once, and that still hurts. Man, I fucked up my shoulders doing that, man.
You're lucky as hell.
I'll move the wrong way.
Fracture something.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like I fell straight. I didn't like dive head first. My feet slid out from under me, and what hurt me the most was catching myself because it just like tensing up and then grabbing on like. The falling part didn't hurt me. It was the muscle shit, you know? But, the day after that was kind of, especially the night after that was kind of rough. But anyways, so Jeff, you're about my age. So like you actually were getting into comics before I was. I didn't touch anything in the 90s. I did not like comics as a kid at all. They didn't appeal to me. My cousin was into comics and I'd look at the comics that he had. And I was just like, how do you read this crap? Like the art was terrible. The way they laid out the word balloons and everything. Like, I didn't understand it. Like, why would anybody want to read this? The art wasn't good enough then, clear enough, clean enough, whatever and plus I was a kid. I mean, the stuff I was getting exposed to was, you know, the crappy stuff that my cousin who was 3 years older than I was liked. But I didn't get into comics. And like I mentioned, it was when I got really into Kevin Smith's movies, and it was right when he started writing Green Arrow, and Phil Hester was doing the art, and his covers were awesome. But I started getting that when it was brand new coming out, and so I got the Daredevil stuff that he did, and I started getting the View Askew Universe comics, you know, the stuff that tied in with all the movies and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, and then I got completely burnt out on Kevin Smith, and that was when I first used eBay. Actually, was to sell all my Kevin Smith comic books.
Oh wow, that's
took
right.
me about it took me about 3 minutes to get burned out on Kevin Smith.
Oh, man. You should have just discovered him in your late teens, like I
well,
did.
Well, that may have been a different, yeah.
Yeah, you'd be like, "This is great" for like 2 years, and then I'm more mature than he is now.
I tried to watch that show. Was it Comic Book Men?
I love that show. Actually,
that bores me to death. I mean, it's like
that's kind of why I like it. I mean, it's not the most amazing show. It's nice to have a show that's just so basic. I mean, it's just like every other damn reality. There's a million reality shows like that. Here are these guys. They have quirky personalities and they buy and sell miscellaneous thing X. You know. In this case, it's comic books. They have it for everything else, for cars, for houses, for people that go to, you know, to junkyards. I mean, whatever, you know? So just for me, it's like, hey, this is a really, brain dead show I can watch. And then you get stuff like, Kevin Eastman coming in with the original turtle drawing and stuff like that. So you get these little tidbits and there's sometimes that are really cool, but yeah, it's a pretty basic, dumb show, but. Yeah, I don't know. It's nice to have a basic dumb show that appeals to me.
Right. You know what I find most fascinating about that is those two guys that he works with, they've been in, like, his circle, like, forever. Like, Walt Flanagan. His reference is Walt Flanagan's dog and friggin', you know, in Mallrats. Like, the guy's just been around that whole thing, and he just works in the comic book store. Like, that's
yeah.
what
they do. You know like, they've making... actually, they've done comics together, too, right?
No, I had no idea.
Yeah, so, first of all, Kevin Smith and Walt Flanagan did a couple. I only tried to read one, but they were fucking awful. These awful Batman trades. The Widening Gyre was one, and I don't remember what the other one was called. But I tried to read one, and it was just god awful. I mean, just absolutely, just I don't know. If anybody likes that, tell me why you like it, and maybe I'll give it another try. But I I dipped my toes and jumped right out of that pool. But then there's also all the guys from the shop. I think Walt Flanagan's doing the art, and then that I don't remember his name, but the dude with the crazy beard, he was writing it. They did a book called Cryptozoic Man that is published by Dynamite. And I read like one issue of that before. I was like, okay, that was interesting. Let's move on.
So that now, I guess now could be a good time to segue into the fact that you pretty much outed me as a rank comic book amateur earlier, despite my almost two decades of Valiant stuff. I haven't really read a whole lot of anything else. And I have a Marvel Unlimited subscription, which is great because there's so much stuff on there.
I have that.
Yeah.
If I was the kind of person that could bounce around. So I started with X-Men number one, and I got up to like 25, and I was like, oh.
The original X-Men stuff?
Yeah. Sean was telling me, he's like, dude, he's like, read this one, skip ahead to 9, read that one, go over here, and he's like, you can cut right to Giant Size X-Men number one.
Just go to Giant Size X-Men. I have a trade of that early stuff, but I haven't read it yet. But I got, I've always, like, X-Men was, Batman and X-Men basically were the first two things I really got into when I got into, you know, superhero comics. And, recently, the comic shop I go to out here, when he gets, like, when he buys a collection from somebody and there's a bunch of crap in it that he doesn't care about, like, he throws it in a bin for super cheap because he just wants to move it. He doesn't have a lot of space. So I got 4 of the essential X-Men trades that they're just black and white, cheaply printed. But they were only $4 each, and each one is like 25 comics. And it started with Giant Size. And the cool thing with starting with Giant Size is they're introducing a new team, but you know, whatever you're you're probably familiar with the X-Men from like the movies, maybe the 90s cartoon, you know. So Giant Size X-Men introduces Storm, Colossus, Nightcrawler, and a couple other characters. So you're getting like the origins of all these characters right off the bat. So like that was like, ooh, cool. There's like a lot of cool stuff going on, you know? So I would say if you want to dive into X-Men, just jump up to Giant Size and go from there. Like go back to the older stuff, like after you like are really hooked, you know?
Yeah.
But that's where I am. Like I'm only like I started with Giant Size and then issue 94, and I'm on issue like I want to say I'm in the 140s now because I've read 2 of those essential collections. But I'm digging it. Like I'm really digging the X-Men from that. So I actually started dabbling in collecting Uncanny X-Men issues, which so far everything I have except for one is like just cheap stuff. But still, that works. It's fun. It's fun to have something cheap to hunt.
I'm using Marvel Unlimited to read Frank Miller's runs on Daredevil from the late
70s. Oh man, Frank Miller Daredevil is good. I just reread Born Again, which I sent to you, Jay.
Right. I haven't gotten into that yet.
Yeah, that's just good stuff. Frank Miller's one of those guys that like you know the name. I mean he's like a legendary name in comics, but then you read a lot of the stuff that he's done, you're like, why the hell is this guy a legend? But then you read the right stuff and you know why he's a legend.
Hey, everybody's gonna start somewhere, right?
Yeah, you know, I just read not too long ago I read Ronin, which I've always wanted to read because it's an influence on the creation of the Ninja Turtles, and that's like I'm a huge Ninja Turtle fan, and man, Ronin was rough. Oh man, it's one of those things I got done. I didn't regret reading it, but I was glad it was over and I will never read it again. I'm glad I didn't buy a physical copy for like a good amount of money and I bought it on sale on Comixology for like $6.
What about Sin City? Have you tried that?
I've read some Sin City. I read that. So I've had like 3 phases of getting into comics. The first was the Kevin Smith phase, which was the shortest lived. And then the second time I started reading comics, I was really heavy into reading literature. Like my wife and I were, and my wife is a huge reader too. She always has been. And plus she's a natural speed reader. So she's disgusting because she'll blow through like a 1,000-page novel in a few days. And it would take me like, I would have to try my hardest and it would take me a couple of weeks to get through it, you know, and she would just fly through it. That was back before we had a kid too. So now just fuck everything. But, so I was really into literature, and Time magazine had a list of the 100 best novels of the 20th century, and Watchmen was on it. Watchmen's a comic book. And I was like, I don't want to read a comic book. I don't want to read a comic book. So finally my wife was like, hey, let's read this. So we got it, and we both read it, and I liked it. And so I was like, I kind of want to read something else, but I did not want to read superhero stuff. So I ended up reading Sandman, and I really love Sandman. That's still one of my favorite things of all time. But it was around that time that, and then, you know, I got into the Sin City stuff, the movie came out, you know, all that stuff. And so I don't know, like, if I read it again now, if I would like it or hate it, because there's a lot of stuff that I read before that now I look back on, I'm like, that was shitty. I just didn't know better.
Have you read The Dark Knight Returns, Frank Miller?
Yes.
Cause that's like, that came out in 86 and 87 too. Those 2 years, you know, the Watchmen and Return of the Dark, or, you know, Dark Knight Returns, you know, those two things changed comics significantly. Really started moving away from kind of being, you know, still kind of campy. Some of it was, you know, serious, but comics started exploring a lot of dark issues because, you know, Watchmen is, you know, it's not a, you know, it's a book that's very critical of the whole superhero genre, and it's showing superheroes in a negative light. Between Alan Moore and Frank Miller on those two books, it was a big turn.
Alan Moore's another one, too, that if you just go like, oh, Alan Moore's a legend, oh, his name's on this, I'll read it, there's like 50-50 chance that it'll be terrible. Because he did some crazy stuff.
Right, yeah, and he still does. I mean, and what's funny about him is he writes something, and then once it becomes popular, he distances from it. He did it with Watchmen, especially when it became popular and they started putting out these sequels. And then when the film came out, he's just like, he just won't have anything. In fact, he didn't even allow his name to be put on the movie credits because
I'm looking at all my comic book movies based on comic books I've never read, and that's one of them. And I got the longest version of that movie there is. If there was a longer one, I would buy it. I love that.
I gotta try watching it again. I only watched it once, and it wasn't long after I read Watchmen, I don't think. So I watched. I was like, "Fuck this." I gotta give it another shot, though.
I think it's a good adaptation.
I'm more open-minded. It was like the last movies now than I was then.
It was the last DC movie, the first and the last DC movie that Zack Snyder directed that critics seem to like, nothing but bashed on everything since. So
it's got probably one of the greatest opening sequences, in my opinion.
Yeah, it does.
Now I'm all excited. I gotta go get this movie. This sounds interesting.
And get the ultimate cut that has all the cartoon stuff from the Black Freighter that has nothing to do with anything in there. Just really just dive into it, dude. It's like a 2.5 hour cut or something.
The thing is, I could probably get it for like $5 now. I'll go for it.
They just actually, you know what? They just reprinted the ultimate cut. See, now we're talking about something I actually happen to know about. Look at that. With a copy of the whole graphic novel in it too. The original didn't have that. It had like a motion comic, and that actually might come with it too. I don't know, man. I love that. I haven't touched those books though. So as far as the Marvel stuff, I got the whole Unlimited thing. Can you guys give me like one or two things that I could start reading? Because here's the thing. I started with X-Men #1. Maybe I'll go to Giant Size. I should. The only other jumping around I've done is I tried to read one of the Guardians of the Galaxy #1s. I think it was from like, Christ, I don't even know. Cause I love those movies. I can talk about those movies. And I read a couple of Colossus side stories. There was one that was a one-off that was actually done by Trevor Harrison, who did all the Divinity stuff, which is really, really, really funny because I read that just at the end of Divinity 3 and I was just waiting for Divinity show up because it's Trevor Harrison and it's Russia. That was an awesome one. And then there was, I think like a 5-issue mini called Bloodlines or something like that, which is just meh. Give me a couple Marvel things that I can poke my nose into that's not going to completely over.
Yeah. So a couple that are pretty much self-contained stories, that, you know, you don't have to know anything. And there can be stuff coming before or after, but that doesn't really matter. Read Planet Hulk. I read that. I've never read Hulk before. Didn't matter. Like, it was a fun read. When you read it, it's a lot like the movie Gladiator. It's like, it's that type of story. It's not like it's a completely new concept, But it's a fun read. And then read the original Old Man Logan. They have the newer Old Man Logan series that Jeff Lemire is doing. That's good too. But just go back and read the original Old Man Logan, which I think is Mark Millar was the writer of that one. So yeah, so just make sure it's Mark Millar, and I can double check that and make sure later too. But
not the Jeff Lemire one.
Yeah, and the Jeff Lemire one's good too, actually. I read a handful of issues recently and then got sidetracked onto something else because I just have like too many things going at one time to read. I was enjoying it too. It's just that would be more confusing because it's like it's taking the Logan from Old Man and Logan and injecting him like back in the current time. So like I don't know exactly what's going on in Marvel continuity right now, but like Logan is dead. Wolverine was killed, but Old Man Logan is here. And I think it's like an alternate universe Logan. Is it the Old Man Logan that's like in present day? I don't know. That's where for Marvel the continuity gets confusing, and that's why sometimes you don't try to pin everything down. You just go like that. But yeah, those two things are good stories. There's a lot of stuff like that that's really good, solid stories. Like Jay was saying, the Miller Daredevil stuff is really good. I like Daredevil a lot. That stuff's really good. Do you have any characters that you like that stand out to you?
I really like Colossus for some reason, and I think I read all the stuff that I know that there's I think that there's a Magneto mini too, which I'll probably dip into at some point. No, man, I don't know this. I know that there's been so many like reboots and rehashes and stuff like that. And I was just breezing through all the deleted scenes on the Thor Blu-ray right before I got on with you guys, because I'm good with the movies. I'm building up my collection on that. I think Guardians of the Galaxy got me started on that, but that's another one. There's like four different things that I can click on when I search it in Marvel Unlimited because they stop them and restart them and whatever. And one of them, it was a number one issue, but there's like Star-Lord's a chick, and then the Thing is part of the Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah, it can get confusing. Thor, God of Thunder by Jason Aaron. That's the beginning of like his run on Thor that's still going. It's the title has changed, but it's still been Jason Aaron doing Thor through these different iterations. But Thor, God of Thunder was the first Thor that Jason Aaron did, and I absolutely love the first two arcs of that, and it's still very good after that, but the first two arcs I loved. I didn't care about Thor, and I started reading it. I don't even know why the hell I started reading it, but I picked it up and just loved it. So that's another good one to pick up.
The run is for, I think it was from 2 or 3 years ago, Hawkeye, the run written by Matt Fraction.
Oh yeah,
David Aja.
I love that.
That's a good.
Sorry, everything you guys say, I'm opening up a tab on my computer, so.
And another thing, I liked, and I know Martin liked it. I don't think you cared for it, Paul. Was the most recent run of Moon Knight that was written by Lemire? I thought was really well done. And not all
it,
of that.
Okay, I want to.
That's not all of that's going to be.
I guess
yet.
It's done now, right?
14, I think. I think he's got one more. I think issue 14 is going to be the last one, and it's either just come out or about to come out. And of course,
I'll give that another shot when it's all done. Because here was my thing with it: is you get through the first arc of that, and it's crazy madness. You don't know what the hell is going on, and then you get to the end of the first arc, and it flips the story, and so you're just back to square one of not knowing what the hell is going on. I don't have a problem with that necessarily, but I didn't like where we were dropped in that. Like I didn't like the protagonist that we had to be connected to all of a sudden. So it's like, I need to be able to just pound through the part I don't like at that point, you know, cause it's not necessarily that it's a bad part of the story. It's just, I don't want to have to wait month after month to find out what the hell's going on in that part, you know?
And that's the other thing about, if you're talking about Unlimited, it's since it's a current series, it's not all out on Unlimited yet. Because there's about they only put things
6 months
six
lag
months or so, yeah. So the first four or five, maybe six issues are out on Unlimited now. They don't have anything else yet. So
yeah, see, that's one thing with using Unlimited is like, at least for my taste on it is wait till something's run its course before you start reading it, because that way by the time you get through, like, you'll be able to keep going on it. Because if you're reading it on Unlimited, you're not going to want to, oh, let's wait till next month, and the next one will come out. I did that with a couple of titles, and I kept on losing track.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much stuff, and it's so oddly curated too. Like, you can't just go to P for Punisher. You got to look for like what the actual title is.
Yeah.
You know, if it starts with a T or if it's whatever, it's just whoa.
Well, it took a while to trace down that Frank Miller Daredevil, because I think the way they had it broken down on the glossary for Daredevil, it's like Daredevil years, you know, year breakdown, and it was like 1964 to 1988. And I'm like, what the hell? And
yeah. that's the contiguous run of it. Marvel.
It took about 10 minutes for me to trace down where the Frank Miller stuff started. So
there are things on there that make it more like new reader friendly. If you go to I can't remember exactly, but there's like a Discover tab on there, and there's a couple of tabs like that on there, like where you could just go and like look, you know, like if you go to the Discover tab, it'll be like check this tab, and then you just jump in and dive into it. Those things make it a little bit more friendly for newer readers. Otherwise, you do have to pin down, like, you know, what run, what issue am I looking to start on with different things.
Well, that's what I had to do. I was like, okay, I'll go back and find out what issue numbers were for Miller. And then, because, yeah, it would have taken me a long time to just flip through that until I found it. Because I knew it was in that 64 to 88 range. I was like, that's a lot of books. You know.
Just start from the beginning, Jay. You'll catch up.
I briefly entertained the idea of reading the Maximum Carnage event from the mid-90s, which the only other person I mentioned that to didn't speak very highly of it, but that, again, going back to the old video game, the old Maximum Carnage game on Sega Genesis that I played, which is awesome. There's a really gnarly-looking collector's edition of that available. That was available through like QVC or something like that, of the Home Shopping Network, where you can still find on eBay every once in a while for several hundred dollars. It came with the game and the like a hard copy of the graphic novel, hardcover graphic novel. But that's all scattered. You can't just go in and find that. You get it because it's all individual issues, and I just no. Speaking of Logan, did you guys talk about Logan yet? Did you guys see Logan? Is everybody happy with Logan?
I am not.
Seen have it. You seen it, Jay?
No, oh. I see very few films. I really do.
Yes, yeah. I almost never get to go to the theater. I actually did see Guardians 2, and I loved it.
Wasn't it awesome?
Oh yeah, I loved it. And so here's what I was saying earlier too, like where before I was more judgmental with movies. I don't have much time now. I don't get to watch many movies. My wife is super particular about movies. Like, it's not that it has to be the greatest movie in the world, but like, she has to be entertained by it, and she has to be able to like do whatever the hell she wants while watching it. So like, going to the theater like is not an easy experience with her. Mm. So I was like, I go into a movie now. It's like I go in just I want to enjoy it. It, you know, it doesn't even have to be the greatest thing. I just like, if I'm going to watch it, I want to enjoy it. So I just spur of the moment was able to go see Guardians 2, and it was a ball to be able to go see it. It was a very fun movie. Logan, I really wanted to see in the theater, but there was just too much going on and I wasn't able to. And so I was dying for it to come out on DVD, or Blu-ray. And I had, traded in some stuff at Bull Moose Music, which is a small local chain out here. And so I had enough credit there to get it. So the day it came out, I happened to be close enough to one. I swung by and I picked it up. And it took me like 3 sittings to watch it. Because once again, I don't have much time, but I loved it. I loved it. I just think it was exactly like that's what you want to get in a movie featuring Wolverine. And, I know, Jeff, you and I were talking a little bit about the crappy Wolverine movies that came out before. I only watched the first one so far. I haven't watched the second one yet, but God, those were awful.
That's kind of what I heard people say. So, it's like, oh, this is the best Wolverine movie ever, but it didn't take much to get to that point, really.
Yeah. It was the trailer for Logan. It was the Redman trailer for Logan that sold me on getting the X-Men collection and watching all of these movies, because I had only seen like 95% of the first one, and beyond that, just wouldn't have even given him a second thought. And in the 3 sets of movies, you know, the first 3, whatever, the second one was the best. I think. Same with the second set that came out with the you know, with the older, not the older cast, but the sort of further back in time.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I think Days of Future Past, all that.
Yeah, I think Days of Future Past was better, but yeah, that the Wolverine, if you count those as a trilogy, those definitely go completely in the opposite direction, because the third one was awesome and the first one was just terrible. When you get around to watching the Wolverine, it's not bad. It's not offensive. It's good. He's completely away from really anything else that's in that cinematic universe. There's not really much of any of the other characters in it from what I remember. Of course, I got another extended version of it too, because I'm all about the 3D Blu-rays now too, that I haven't watched yet. But it's not offensive, I don't think. I know some people were kind of butthurt about the way they portrayed the Silver Samurai, but hey, that's a character that I'm completely unfamiliar with, so whatever.
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me. But yeah, that even Gambit in Origins, man, that was a big thing in Deadpool. Jesus Christ.
Deadpool was the worst. The funniest part is just that it was Ryan Reynolds playing that Deadpool, and then he played Deadpool in the movie that was actually a good Deadpool movie.
And he's even got the little action figure of the bad Deadpool in the new Deadpool movie. Did you catch that? Was a nice little Easter egg when he's...
Yeah.
Well, didn't he play the Green Lantern in that awful Green Lantern movie? Right.
He did. Yeah, I don't, man. See, now DC, that we may as well be speaking Japanese, because I'm even more removed and unfamiliar with all that stuff. I don't think I've seen any DC movies, to be honest with you. Like maybe the old 80s Supermans, but that's probably about it. And Watchmen, if you want to count that.
Oh yeah, Watchmen certainly counts. I mean,
so I don't get yelled at too much for how little we talk about Valiant on podcast. So the one little tidbit of news that we have to talk about that was interesting, and Jeff, you brought this up too. So Secret Weapons is doing something kind of interesting with the number one issue. Jeff, you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I just had the thing up and now I don't have it, but they're doing a secret edition, a secret special edition, something to that effect, where a limited run of the number one issues are going to have some kind of extra content. They're not very particular about what that content is going to be, and it doesn't seem it's going to be any sort of obvious differences.
It's on the cover, right? Or is it interior as well?
I think it might be in the interior. Let's see. Secret Weapons number one secret edition, top secret cloaked in secrecy special edition, because those aren't the same thing. Special edition of the summer's hotly anticipated. Blah 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 blah. Yep. He wrote a movie. We get it. Okay, Sony. Yep. Bloodshot movie coming at some point in the next two millenniums. Indistinguishable. Randomly inserted into the print run of Secret Weapons number one's A cover by interior artist Raoul Allen. The Secret Weapons number one secret edition is indistinguishable from the A cover, except for subtle differences that will not be revealed officially. So I'm reading that as that stuff inside. There's some hints to some big thing that's coming up in the future in Valiant. I'm kind of iffy about this one.
So you mentioned that to me, that you wanted the opportunity to bitch about it. First of all, my impulse with all of these kind of, I don't know, gimmicky things that they do, it's like, whatever, it's a gimmick, you know what I mean? If you don't care about the gimmick, what does it matter? If you don't want the gimmick, what does it matter? The only people that, like, have, like, I don't know, I guess have any right to bitch about it are the completest collectors that, like, have to get everything. They're like, well, one more thing we have to figure out how to get, you know? But, I mean, if you're a collector like that, that's what you collect. That's like your bread and butter if your collector is fighting that shit. So, I really like this type of thing. I do not get people complaining about it. But, what's your point of view with it? That's, you know, it's always easy to say that from your own point of view, but what's your point of view?
So, for me, it's a matter of the content. And again, this kind of description, this news release that we got is a little bit vague as to what this book is actually going to contain. That's different. A lot of people were kind of iffy about the whole Legends of the Geomancer thing. That was available. You know, you had to lean on your LCS to order them and, you know, tell them about the incentives and whatever. But you could get your hands on it, I guess, relatively easy enough. And I guess this won't be any difference. Any different depending on what the actual print run or what the ratio is of this secret edition. But, you know, I knew, well, I mean, my LCS hooked me up, but if they didn't, you know, I knew that, you know, at some point I'd be able to go on eBay and get Legends of the Geomancer. No problem. I could get it. If I wanted it, you know, it's exclusive content. Same with the stuff that came out in the Exo Manowar pre-order bundles. You know, if I wanted it, I could get it. All I had to do was order those. This just seems to be a little bit more, I don't know. I feel like it might be a little bit more of a pain to track down.
Well, because if I'm understanding what that says, there's not going to be any distinguishing other than the change in the art. I mean, the barcode will be the same.
Yeah,
what
I think so it's going to be
it's like, it's not like an LCS could order those.
Yeah, right. It's going to be like little nuanced hints at something, but it's not like it's going to have like a bonus chapter in the back of the comic book or something. It's just going to be like these little subtle things that hint at something. And honestly, like, if all you care about is getting the story content, as soon as, like, people figure out what it is, it's going to be all over the place. It's not like they're going to hide what, you know, what there is to find out. It's just, it's sort of like adding a little scavenger hunt to it. You know what I mean? So if you get this cover and figure out that you have this cover that's has the secret stuff in it, you'll have something cool. It kind of makes me think about, and I know people love this. I've actually had a listener request for me to talk more about baseball cards. But I'm going to talk about football cards because I don't collect baseball cards and never have. well, not since I was a kid. But, so when I collected football cards, the one set that I like getting the best, like the featured part of the set was that it had, autographed rookie cards in it. And it had some, like, scarcer, versions of the cards. And different years, it was different, but, like, I remember the first year I got it, you didn't know if you had the rare version of the card, where minute differences in the image. They would literally do stuff like, edit off, an armband out of the picture, or edit off a little piece of logo. I mean, like, little minute things like that. So, and that was the difference between it being a card that there was, you know, 1,000 printed or a card that there was 200 printed. So when I got the first year I bought this, the one card that stood out to me is I got a Ryan Mallett rookie card. You know, he was a Patriots rookie quarterback, and I sold that card on eBay for like $100 and it turned out it was not the scarcer version of the card and probably wasn't worth nearly what I got for it, but you didn't know, you know? So people that are hunting it down are just trying to grab up what they can grab up, you know?
Right.
And, you know, with the comic book, it's not going to be like that where people are going to be like, oh, this is the scarce one. I'm going to pay $50 for it. You know, I mean, when people figure out what one is the, you know, the variant version of the A cover, it'll be like, oh, cool. You know, I have this thing that might eventually be worth something. Maybe right. What'll probably happen. I mean, if you see what happens on eBay with stuff like this is like right off the bat, it has like the highest value.
Oh, yeah.
And then that plummets and then it kind of settles down a little bit, you know?
That's the thing I'm curious about on this. Is it actually going to have a different barcode number? Because variants do. Tweak that second number of the last four digits of the barcode for variants, or is this going to be just completely?
Yeah, that's what
I'm just saying. If they made the changes but kept the same barcode, that's pretty interesting because it's a lot harder to track down because you just can't look at the barcode and say, ah, yeah, here's just the variant number. You gotta actually figure out what the differences are. I don't know how they're doing it. I'm just kind of just spitballing.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting. I think that's why this kind of interests me is it's something a little bit different. It's not just like here's a one in whatever variant that you can go out and purchase. It's just a tweak to a cover.
Is it just the cover? Because I thought the way it reads it says something about inserted into the A cover. So I think the cover will be the same. I think that there's something in the actual pages is going to be slightly different.
Well, I guess it depends on how you interpret that. Inserted right? into the See, A cover means thing. It could be
right.
actually in change. I was reading it. To me, it looks like it. I read it as it's going to be slightly some changes in the cover itself, tweaks.
Yes, yeah, this is what I read too. Is inserted into the cover is kind of how I read it. But I get what you're saying. It could be either way, just like Jay said, depending on how you interpret it.
I think I'd be better off if I really if it was a little more clear what it was. All I'm saying is I don't care about the covers. And I was telling Jay earlier about this too. I stopped with the whole collecting thing. I'm doing one of every A cover. That's it. And then I'm okay ordering the pre-order editions because there's a little bit of extra content in this. I don't want to miss anything that's in the pages. That's additional. You see what I'm saying? So even if it's just a little, you know, they drew this guy in this panel and he's in this version of it and not the other one, that I want to have a copy of that. That's all. And I don't want to have to figure it out later down the line. Really, that's just me being lazy. You're kind of selling me on it though, because you know what? If it does create a little bit of excitement, we get some posts in the group about, oh, hey, did you guys see, you know, this panel is different than that one. Oh, okay. Yeah. And, you know, we get a good, and as a group of people, we're enjoying it. Then, yeah, you know what? That's fine. I don't have a problem with them doing gimmicks. I know a lot of people are uppity about gimmicks, but dude, whatever it is, it gets, there's really no such thing as bad publicity at this point. People want to make inappropriate comments about Faith like they did, you know, a year and a half ago when she launched. It's whatever, dude. They're saying her name. You know, people want to wank about the Renegade 5 cover coming up, which really is a throwback to one of the old Eternal Warrior covers with the, you know, the graphic on, dude, whatever. You know? It sells books. They wouldn't be doing it if it didn't. I just don't want to miss any actual content inside the pages of a book. Don't care about the covers, you know. And if that's what this is, then I'm kind of meh on it. But
yeah, and what I see this. So what is, you know, what they told us? What does this mean? This, like, to me, I look at this and I say that this means that people are going to be getting that because it's just the first issue, right?
Right.
So people are going to get that first issue. And they're going to scour that book. They're going to, like, they're going to be paying attention. They're going to be reading deeply. They're going to be looking at every little detail. How do people read comic books nowadays? Like, I mean, most comic books, like, you can fly through a comic book in 5 minutes. I mean, comic books, they're not deep reading, you know, and most people just fly through stuff. I mean, you know, Jay, you don't, like, I don't. I take my time with it. But, I mean, how many people do we know that get like 80 freaking comic books a month?
Oof.
Shit, well, like that. Like, seriously.
Well, my
Jay, how many?
80 a week, I think, or more than that.
Yeah, he's just an anomaly. Like, with him, it makes sense. But, Jay, how many comic books do you get each week?
Well, see, I order DBS monthly, but I would say.
Well, how many do you get a month? That's fine.
I'm trying to think. 16, 18, something like that.
Wow. Yeah, so you get 16 or 18. I get like 5. I don't get many monthly comic books right now. Although I also get the digital previews of Valiant, and I'm going to start getting Valiant in trade instead of in floppies. But, and then Jeff, you know, you already said like you're just getting Valiant and you're just starting to dig into other stuff, but like that's all you're getting right now. So some people, like, there are a lot of people that we know that get like 80 comic books a month. Like, no joke. And that's not even Mike Myers level. That's 20 comic books a week. Who has as 3 comic books a day, every single day you have to read? Like, you know, most people just, they fly through comic books. And, you know, especially if they're, you know, if you get 80 comic books, you might have a few that you're like, I am going to take my time and savor this comic book, you know?
Well, that's kind of the way I approach
that, it. It's like a bell curve, right? Like, you're going to have a few that are like, I'm going to take my time with this. And then the majority of them are going to be like, I'm going to read this at a pretty brisk pace. And then there are going to be a few like, I don't know why I get this shit, but I do, and I'm just going to turn the page as quick as I can. So with Secret Weapons, it's new. It's a new writer. Yeah, I mean, Livewire is the only character in it, at the beginning at least, that is an established Valiant character. And as much as a lot of people love Livewire, she's not a big name in Valiant characters either. You know, I mean, she's... I'd say she's like the next level of name. Like, the people who are in the know in Valiant are like, yeah, Livewire's the shit. I want more. But like a casual reader is like, oh yeah, I know the name Livewire, you know? So with Livewire being like the most prominent name in this, you know, for them to do something that's going to make people slow down with this book and like read it and pay attention and dig into it. And I read the first issue, and I loved it. I thought it was really good. But, you know, I mean, how many people are going to take the time with it, you know? So I think that them doing this is really to get people. If you look at all the different things Valiant has done, it's had different ways that it's attracted attention. You know, you go back to the Book of Death and the Legends of the Geomancer. That got a shitload of books on the shelf. Pissed a lot of people off, but you know what? People were pissed off about it. We're talking about it like crazy. It got a lot of extra books on comic book shelves, or on store shelves, you know, in comic book stores. And I don't care what negative things people say, because you know what? The people that say the negative things about that gimmick, they're not wrong, you know. By no means are they wrong about it, but, you know, I was going into the comic book shop I was going into at the time that that happened. And I was looking at the comics on the shelf, and I would see, like, okay, this title has, like, almost nothing to the pile. But then you get to shit like, what the hell was the Marvel thing? Like, Original Sin or something like that. And it was this massive pile of books stuck out from all the rest of the books. And I saw that, and I really realized, and this is before the Geomancer thing happened, but I was like, if you have a big stack of books, that catches people's attention.
Sure.
You know, and I don't care how many people, like, you know, the sell-through numbers, whatever, like, everything that people say that's a negative to it, whatever, like, they're not wrong. But I know that a big stack of books catches people's attention.
Right.
So that was the Geomancer thing. They wanted a big stack of fucking Geomancer, or not Geomancer, but Book of Death books in the store. And you know what? The covers were fucking awesome, too. So they're doing, like, all these things to catch people's attention. You know, what have they done since then? I mean, people complain about the polybagging the XO books. Okay, polybagging goes back a long ways. Like, everybody has done that shit at some time. And it was polybagged because you were getting a bonus that didn't cost you any extras. What the hell are you complaining about? You know, and the people that want to the only, like, valid-ish complaint is, I want to see the condition of the comic book because, like, I care about that. Well, you know, if you're the kind of collector that's trying to land 9.8s, whatever, buy a bunch of copies. I don't give a shit. Just, like, that's your shit. You know what you have to do for it, so fucking do it. Don't complain about it.
Well, so, a fanboy, I don't know. I don't know if it seems to be in the nature, but I've lived with it, you know, all my life. You know, fanboys don't complain about anything. And I made the joke to somebody one time. It's like, it seems like a lot of people are, they're like, if you handed them a $100 bill, they'd complain that it wasn't 520s. You know, kind of how people are sometimes. I mean, it's like you're giving them extra content, but we got to find something to complain about.
Yeah, people like to. I don't know. It's a weird thing. I don't even think it's exclusive to comic books, to be honest.
Oh, well, it's not. It's just that's the world I live in, so I see it.
Yeah. I think a lot of what we would consider to be, you know, nerd or geek culture, there's a lot of little pockets of people that just, it's, I don't know, it's so easy for people to draw a line in the sand over anything, and mm-hmm. I mean that concept in and of itself could be applied to just about every interaction I have on a daily basis, but you know, these things especially, man, it gets real easy, and really, really, it can get nasty quick, you know, but I'll tell you what, they're pushing this book in a lot of different ways, and I'm excited for it. I've had that review copy now for a while, and I haven't touched it because I'm not going to do it until it's VCR time and it's time to do it. But you know, Ryle Allen's art on Eternal Warrior was probably one of the first times I really read a comic book slow, and it reads really fast because there's not a whole lot of dialogue in it, especially those first couple of issues. But man, you talk about the idea of visual storytelling, of you know, saying something with pictures. That was really, really good stuff. And then of course the writer there, and his you know, whole big thing with the movie and whatever. This could be a big book for him. I'm excited.
Yeah, see, I think this is a book that in retrospect could be a lot bigger than it seems looking forward to it. You know. I mean, they're obviously putting a lot of emphasis on it, but, you know, I like the comment that you made about drawing a line in the sand, and people draw a line in the sand for everything. And, I think that on an individual personal basis, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I think it's a good thing to draw a line in the sand personally with stuff. I think that, you know, that's one thing I'm a big proponent of is if you don't like a book, like, just cut it loose, get rid of it. because, like I said, we know a lot of people that get way too many comics, and we know, like, I know so many people that they get like 80 comics a month and they hate 20 of them, you know? And like, so I'm a big proponent of, if you don't like it, don't buy it. Because you know what? If you change your mind later and have to go back, it's not going to hurt you that much. And in the long run, you're going to end up saving money because you're going to drop more stuff that you legitimately hate than stuff that you regret dropping. But, you know, drawing the line in the sand personally is a good thing. And having private conversations about that can be good because it helps you figure out where you're at with stuff. The problem is, that social media just is ruining the world. And with social media, everybody can just like, have you guys seen the movie Braveheart?
Yeah,
it's going back a ways, but like everybody's seen that movie. You know the part where they're going like into the big battle and they all like lift their kilts and flash their asses. That's what everybody does on social media. They're like, this is my line in the sand. Now look at this. In a big group context, it's like, just shut the fuck up about your personal opinion. Like, so many times people will talk out of their ass, and then when they get called out on it, they get all teary and they're like, well, that's just my opinion. Well, yeah, but you said it in a public group of fans of the thing that you're shit talking. So either be prepared for everybody to disagree with you or shut your mouth.
You know,
and
to me, it's not that so much them giving them their opinions. It's the way they do it. It's like, this is my opinion.
Exactly.
And if you don't agree, then you're an idiot.
they're passionate.
Well, that's
Paul. They're passionate. That's my favorite excuse. I'm just passionate about it. Dude, you know, passion and freaking mental illness are two completely different.
I mean, it sounds like insecurity, that if you can't stand somebody having an opposite opinion of yours, why does that feel like? Yeah. Why do people accept that like it's an attack on you? It's like, it's not. It's like, I don't agree.
That's the only way you're ever going to challenge yourself. I mean, even just now, even just having this conversation, you've made me feel a little bit better about Secret Weapons number one having a secret variant, because you told me what you like about it, and I was open to that, because it's a conversation, not just like you said. I'm not just lifting my kilt and flashing my.
I think we have a title for the
podcast.
Gonna,
I was about to say that. I think you've got your title for the
lifting your kilt, flashing your ass. That's the title of the podcast. But yeah, and you just hit the nail on the head. Is you know, when you're having these conversations, it's about listening to what the other person has to say. And I have no problem listening to, you know, Chris is a good example. You know, we I don't know how much Jay knows Chris, but like, I love Chris. You love Chris. Chris is a very strong personality, and I love Chris, and Chris has rubbed me the wrong way at times, and usually I give it back to him, so I rub him the wrong way also. But we always get over it, because you know what, Chris and I are buddies, you know, like he is with a lot of people. He has a very strong particular opinion. But the thing with Chris is, if you listen to his opinion, it just gives you a different perspective on it. There are always going to be people like that, but it's about how you have the conversation. And, you know, with Chris, sometimes he can be too forceful about his opinion, but he realizes that too, you know? So like, there's some balance there. But then you get some other people who, you know, they have a very strong opinion, but the way that they do it just like shits on everybody around them.
Yeah.
You know, and then if you say something contrary to it, then they get defensive, or they get, well, this is my opinion, or they just like tell you you're wrong. So the big fan group on Facebook, which is I don't know, I think it's over 2,000 people now, it might be pushing 3,000 or more by now. I was an admin on that group for a long time. I remember when it was one of the times that there was a lot of argument going on, and it might have been the Book of Death phase. And this one dude, he was being a dick, and he was, so I'm somebody that if you're going to argue, you better argue logically. Like, you can argue your ass off and be an asshole about it if you use logic. if you use formula to how you argue, because you know what, then you're following the proper rules of it.
You might be expecting a little bit too much out of your average internet interaction, but please
Exactly. But I took a symbolic logic class in college that I loved because it literally took arguments down to a formula. And there is a formula to any argument. And so this one guy was arguing something and was being an asshole. And he literally said, like, I'm not being an asshole. I'm teaching you how to argue. And I said, you're out of this group. Delete you. And I deleted that motherfucker. I don't think I did, because anytime I was pissed off, I would tell one of the other admins, you need to look at this and make a decision on it, because I'm too pissed off about it. But, yeah, it's like people will just be ridiculous, and it's ridiculous. Ultimately, the long moral of the story here, people, is, it's okay to have different opinions. Number one, if you say your opinion in a public group on a social forum, if everybody disagrees with you, it's really okay. Like you said your opinion, you don't even have to defend it. You know, you said it. Listen to what people say and you get a different perspective. You said your perspective. You know, you don't need any more than that. When it breaks down into just arguing, it's useless. It's pointless. But, you know, if you are going to get into a debate, like you have to listen to the other side of the argument. You know, you're not getting into the debate to convince other people. You're getting into debate to hear what other people think. And if you remember that, then you're going to get more out of it. Other people are going to get more out of it. And if you do that in my Facebook group, you won't get kicked out.
That's if you even make it into your Facebook group.
Yeah, we're really bad about approving people in that group. Are you in the group, Jeff?
It's fine. I am. No, I am. And it's great because you guys are – there's far less traffic and therefore far less nonsense than the big group. And there's a lot more going on than our group, which is Owen the Valiant. which is a public group, and anybody can just stop by and type up an essay at 4 o'clock in the morning about why they don't like
I was at that page quite a bit.
I'm in that group, and I think every time I see somebody post, I'm like, should I just leave this group? I'm like, yeah, this group's okay. I like Only the Valiant.
It's good. It's just easy. It's just, you know, I don't know. It's weird, dude. Because the podcast is so tightly constrained to, we're going to talk about this book. We're going to talk about that book. And then we're going to end. And really, the best episodes are when we kind of break away from that a little bit and we have a little bit of fun. Like the last one that we just did, Rapture Number One, I listened to it. And I was like, this was actually a good podcast. But I don't know how many people, you know, are going to listen to that as a supplement to their weekly reading every single week. You know what I mean? It's not, and there's no linearity to it. It's not like listening to the old OTV where, you know, you can listen to episode number one and then episode number two. And there's kind of, it's just like, whatever the books are, you know, we're talking about, man, that big group, man, there's been a lot of nutbags in and out of there, huh?
Oh yeah, I don't even know who the nutbags in there are now, but they always show themselves at some point. The interesting thing about the OTV group, so obviously like Sean made the group, and you know I'm good friends with Sean. Sean was actually like so you're talking about you're still working on building your VH1 collection slowly. I completely built the VH1 collection, and then when I was ready to buy a house, I completely sold it. But Sean sent me so many books because he was building like a second collection and then decided to just like it was too much. So he cut back. But he sent me so many books. Like Sean is the ultimate Valiant fan. Like he is the epitome of a Valiant fan. He like is looking out for other fans. You know, he has his opinions, but he's very gracious to others. And, you know, he listens to other opinions. But like Sean's somebody, he was on one of our first few episodes of this podcast. And that was my favorite of our first few episodes was the one that we had him on. So like, you know, just being tight with Sean, and there was a certain individual who's in both of our groups who was being very negative about things, and being able to talk to Sean about that and get like once I got to the point where Sean was like, yes, this is a problem. This person needs to learn to rein it in. This is what I'm trying to do. That's when I that was the point that I realized, like, I wasn't just being an asshole who was fed up with somebody, but it's like, okay, this is something that, like, this person either has to, like, tweak their behavior or, like, just, you know, not really contribute anymore.
I have absolutely 0% idea who you're talking about, wink.
I think I do, but I'm
not at all.
Yeah, it just, I mean, I don't know, dude. It's good. I like that people are talking about it, to be honest. And I like that there's other podcasts. I like that, you know, it's great. It's such a vibrant community that, you know, even sometimes some of the bad is still pretty okay. And man, I have a box of extra VH1 comics upstairs. If you want to give me an idea of what it is that you're looking for, I might be able to help you out.
Yeah. One of the little funny stories was, so you, if I remember correctly, you said you started listening to our podcast at the 100th episode when we had like 5 guys from Valiant on.
Oh, yes, dude, that was glorious. That was really good listening.
That was a hell of an episode. I had to pee really bad in my basement. We recorded for like 4 or 5 hours.
What didn't OTV do? Didn't they sit down with Dinesh and some other guys? Was it WonderCon? There was one episode where they were sitting, or is it C2E2? I can't remember.
I think they did. I think they did. Well, it was WonderCon, I think. I don't know. It's weird. See, when you guys did it, it was a huge deal. I'd heard OTV guys interview a bunch of those guys a whole bunch of times. You know, but you guys
did all the part episode. About that one that OTV did was it? Dinesh kept bringing up these hardcovers. Kept talking about the hardcovers. It was this joke that just kept coming back up and up and up. And
I think he was talking about
the VH1 hardcover. Yeah, I think.
Well, it was. It's kind of weird because I don't know if you would even call those VH1 because they came out after VEI bought the. It was the 2007 ones, I think, right? And they did the recolored.
Oh yeah.
God. Yeah, I got those too.
It was reprinting of VH1 stuff, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, when we did that, we, you know, like, part of the thing is making it a spectacle, and that's what we did is, you know, it was a big deal. You know, we were making it as our 100th episode, and we brought on a bunch of people all one time, but that's actually tangential to what I'm getting at. So,
sorry.
Anyways, you've been listening to us for a little bit, so you know that, like, one of the things that we do is we, you know, we're here to have fun, and we talk shit about other podcasts. And we talk shit out of love because we love the other podcasts. If we didn't care about you, we would not mention you. And I thought it was hilarious that one time I don't even remember what it was or what I said, but I was talking shit about VCR. And obviously I have a lot of respect for VCR. Like they, I think are the, you know, you guys are the premier review podcast for Valiant. You know, I mean, I think that you're the number one that anybody should go to. But I was making some kind of fun about something, and I pissed Jason from Canada off so bad. Apparently, like I didn't know from him, but Chris actually told me about it that he was like legitimately pissed off at me. I thought that was, you know, it was kind of hilarious. But Jason, as much as he can be off the wall sometimes, like there's also endearing qualities about Jason. And I just want to say, Jason, I don't even know if you listen to us anymore after that, but if you do, just know that I do love Chris. I love VCR. And, I also, like, I appreciate what you bring to Valiant fandom. Like,
yeah, you can't definitely. You can't take inter-podcast beefs even remotely seriously. Especially not in the greater fandom of a comic book.
And they were Facebook groups too. I mean, what was that a couple days ago?
Oh my god, that was so
somebody got butthurt over those t-shirt mock-ups that Ronnie did.
Oh man. Jeff, did you catch wind of this at all?
No.
So, Ronnie, you know, who we talked about a little bit earlier, he made a bunch of mock-ups of t-shirts, because we've talked about, like, making, you know, promotional products before, and somebody was asking about like t-shirts, you know, or whatever. And so he made a bunch of stuff, and one of them, so there's a Valiant Facebook group called the Valiant Army. And like I said,
yikes,
the Facebook groups, not in a good way, not in a bad way. I don't care about any of them except the Valiant Central, because that is the only one, like, you know why the Valiant Central exists? I actually asked this to somebody from the Valiant Army group, because he brought it up to me, and like he knew our joke was a joke and thought it was funny. The Valiant Central doesn't exist to be a Valiant group to talk about Valiant. It's a group for people that listen to our podcast, that are fans of our podcast. So we do talk about Valiant in there, but we also talk about Marvel and Ninja Turtles. And, you know, for me personally, that group is a little bit of a firewall between me and my family, so I could post whatever the fuck I want without my family seeing it. Because, you know what, Facebook is my family's social media. I live in Maine. I'm from California. Like, I'm spread out, you know? So that's my family's social media. So I don't want to, like, first of all, I don't want to swear on my personal Facebook page. I don't want to talk about, like, stuff I'm buying and that I'm excited about. Like, that's stuff that, like, my family has no business knowing about the ins and outs of every little thing I do, you know?
Sure.
It's my firewall. So that's kind of what that group is. So Ronnie made this shirt, and as soon as I saw it, like, I wasn't a big fan of the shirt, because as much as, like, I mean, I have been uninhibited this episode and swearing quite a bit, whereas usually I might watch myself a little bit more, but I've had a fucking day, so whatever. You know, it's one thing to swear on the podcast. It's another thing to have profanity on something promoting the podcast. So Ronnie made a shirt that said Valiant Army, Valiant Marines. Then it said Valiant Central. Bitches, but bitches was like in symbols. Is that right, Jane? Did I get it?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's funny. Whatever. Like, yes, there is a Valiant Army Facebook group. There's a little bit of an insider reason why Ronnie would want to take a jab at that group. Not about the group, but about a member of the group. Okay. But ultimately, like, even if we're taking a little bit of a poke, you know what? Like, we get a shitload of attention, so all that's going to do is get attention for your group. So, like, that's not a negative thing. Like, if we are taking a jab at you, it's to mention you, to talk about you, you know, just like you guys would talk about us for any group, any podcast, whatever. It draws attention, you know?
Well, it's like Jeff said earlier, all publicity is good publicity.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as you guys don't want to rag on me for that one-off podcast I did by myself...
I really should go back and listen to that.
Can I tell you what a nightmare that was? Listen, I had like 10 false starts on that thing, and a handful of them were over 5 minutes. I have no experience editing this crap. It was literally the 0 hour. It was like Tuesday night, like 8:30. I'm upstairs doing it myself, and I'm like, if you listen, it's really like I had to slow myself down. I think I take for granted sometimes the amount of editing that goes in that Sean and Chris do when we're doing VCR. And I think something like this, maybe being a little bit more freeform, it might be easier, it might not, but it might be a little bit easier because, you know, if somebody has to pause for a second to think about what they're saying, like, it's all a natural part of conversation. Well, this is not a natural conversation because I don't talk to myself very often, number one, okay? Number two, I'm trying to think of how I can make an interesting conversation with one person out of, you know, two comic books that I'm normally talking about with at least one other person, if not two. Dude,
there's a clear answer to this, Jeff. You clearly should have impersonated everybody else on the podcast.
Oh, dude. You know what?
I remember when you posted about that. Like, you saw how many people were like, well, I would have done it. I would have done it. If you ever are in a pinch, all you got to do is hit a couple of groups and say, like, hey, who wants the podcast right now? Somebody will do it.
Well, the thing, I mean, too, I need, I don't even have the PAM software to record the Skype things. All I did was I recorded it in, I think I recorded it in Audacity, which is, I could have edited it, and actually it's pretty easy to just cut stuff out of there, but, you know, again, with the time constraint and stuff, it would have been far more tricky to include somebody else in there. It would have been more, you know, it would have gotten in the program and stuff like that. But no, I like that idea. Next time I'm gonna do that, I'll just Chris and Sean and be like, my name's Sean and I like everything. I can find something I like about every book, and Dead Drop wasn't as bad as you thought it was.
It'll be like, hey, I'm Chris and fuck Rafer Roberts.
I don't like anything. Get off my lawn.
Oh man. So I mentioned this to you earlier too, but Jay, he's been on one other VCP episode, and that was the last time that Martin needed a week off, and so we covered for him. So I hit up Jay because this was, I think, right after you covered for Justin Ehart on the Love and Rockets episode of Comics in Black and White.
Yeah.
So a little context to that story: Justin stood me up like 3 times. I mean, he had his reasons. There were valid reasons, but like, I was just like, I gotta get this fucking thing done. So I sent Jay a message like, hey, because Jay was the one that said you need to do Love and Rockets. He sent me the fucking book. And so I sent Jay a message like, hey, are you free literally right now? In 15 minutes, we were doing the episode. And I think it was right after that that I said, hey, Jay, you want to do VCP with me? And then we ended up having Jay on, Jack on. Jack does the Ultimate Marvel podcast also on Nerdy Legion with Ronnie. And then we had Dwan on, and Dwan just started doing, collecting Valiant. Right. So we ended up having like a big, you know, party cast episode, and I had to jump off the episode like 2 or 3 times because of family stuff. Family stuff, by the way, is code for my kid won't fucking stay in bed. But, Jay was on.
I think I listened to that one.
My recorder didn't record. The saving grace was Jack recorded it also, because Jack does other podcasts. So, and now it's like, you know, I got Jay records, Jack records. We got a bunch of people who record. So like, if you're ever in a pinch with recording an episode, there's plenty of people who can record it too. So keep that in mind.
Oh, far out, man. Cool.
Well, folks, I think it's getting late, and yeah, I think it's, probably about time for us to wrap this up. Let's do the wrap ups here. So you can find Jay on Twitter at JayForgets.
JayForgets, yeah. At JayForgets.
Jeff, where can people find you on social media?
Oh man, please don't.
Go to the Only the Valiant Facebook group. Join it. You don't even have to get approval. It's a public group. So just go and join it there to, interact with Jeff and other Only the Valiant people. I am on Twitter at Who's Paul. The podcast is on Twitter at Valiant_Central. Tweet Martin on Twitter at Geekvine.
Cough, cough, also at
Valiant_Central. And tell him how much more enjoyable this episode was than all the ones where he is on it and Paul is not.
Just to see from that comment.
Jay wholeheartedly supports everything I say because he is my CBW podcast wife, so.
I've
still got to suck up to Martin because Dennis and I are trying to get a new podcast started on his network. So,
you don't have to suck up for that. Martin's like, yeah, more podcasts. Because he keeps on talking about making it profitable, but then he doesn't do it. So,
yeah, him and I are going to have a conversation in the near future. I get a whole idea of a network of podcasts that have nothing to do with comic books, believe it or not. I'm going to get the ball rolling on that.
Well, I hope you guys have enjoyed listening to this episode of Valiant Central Podcast. We actually – I feel like we did a fairly good job talking about Valiant, even though we talked a lot of Marvel in the middle and a little bit of other stuff. But this was a fun episode. So, you know, you can catch Jeff on the VCR podcast. You know, hit him up on the Only the Valiant Facebook group. Both, you know, good podcasts. And Only the Valiant – so they're back monthly now, right?
That's what it seems to be, which is funny. Yeah. You know, when they called it quits, I still to this day have not listened to their quote unquote last episode because I was so bummed. So bummed. Dude, I binge watched the podcast. I listened to all of their episodes in a very, very short span of time, doing like crap around the house and whatever. And, at the gym and everything, and then he posted, he's like, yeah, we're calling it quits and blah blah blah. I'm like, nope, I still haven't listened to it, but yeah, they're back. I kept my fingers crossed that it wouldn't take them long, and it didn't.
It's good to have them back. I haven't listened to any of the episodes since they've come back, to be honest, because like I said, my podcast listening habits, but I should dive into that. Only the Valiant, for anybody who's listening to this, like they've been doing, they did Valiant podcasts when there was no Valiant being published. So like they're some real hardcore Valiant fans. So check out the Only the Valiant podcast, check out, the Valiant comics review. And, that's where you can find Jeff. You can find Jay along with me on the Comics in Black and White podcast on the Nerdy Legion Network. The last episode that we did that'll be getting posted in, I think it's coming Sunday, is about Motor Girl, Terry Moore's book. So anybody who loves Terry Moore, we've actually done a few Terry Moore episodes on Comics in Black and White in our very short history so far. So check us out. Check out all the other Nerdy Legion podcasts. And until next time, what was the outro on Only the Valiant? Feel my power?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, feel all of our power. We got lots of power here.
Feel.
There's power all over the place.
So much power just flying through the air.
Go back and listen to old episodes of Only the Valiant to hear that said appropriately, though. I don't do impersonations, so I'm not going to try to do... Try to do that. Good night, folks. This is great! And I loved it.
Well, that's because you fall downstairs a lot.
Oh, they, you know, they're passionate. Passion and friggin' mental illness are two completely different things.
I'm not being an asshole. I'm teaching you it's useless. It's pointless. Keep that in mind. We talk shit out of love. Lift their kilts and flash their asses.
Lifting your kilt, flashing your ass. That's the title of the podcast.
Yeah, feel all of our power. We got lots of power here.
Feel.
There's power all over the place.
So much power just flying through the air. Now, that wasn't terrible.